Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Normally, you know, I preached several verses, but today I'm just going to preach two because they're so powerful. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Father God, we just come before you today. We're so thankful, Lord, that we're able to celebrate, Lord, with Austin Peay, Chi Alpha, God. Lord, we're thankful for everything you're doing in their midst, God, that you're transforming lives in just a mighty way. And Lord, it's just encouraging to us. And so we say, keep it coming, Father. Keep moving in that land. And God, we pray today, Lord, that you would continue moving in this house. And God, that you would take your word and you would make it alive. And you would bury it deep in our heart, God. May seeds of faith, Lord, be planted in us, Lord, that would bear a harvest, Lord, a fruit that would arise in us, Father, to where we would know who we are in you. So, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the first thing that we need to talk about is that word, therefore. Now, you know my saying, when you come across a therefore in Scripture, you need to pause and ask yourself, what's that therefore? Because it's pretty important, because it's a funnel effect. So if you think chapter 5 started a new paragraph, a new subtitle, something new, you're wrong. Chapter 5, we should just slip that out of there because he is continuing the same thought right here. So he's picking up with what he was talking about with Abraham. So I got to thinking last night, actually in the middle of the night, a lot of things was coming to me. And if we were going to go to a new country, I thought of three C's that we really need to consider. We need to consider culture, communication, and currency, right? If you're going to a country that doesn't speak English, you're going to have a little bit of difficulty. If they don't use the dollar, you're going to have more difficulty. You're going to have to learn how to exchange, and people will rip you off if you're not careful. And you need to know the culture. So different places do things differently. You know, I heard as a kid one time, in some countries, a good belch at the end of the meal is like saying, that was fine right there. Treva doesn't allow me to do that at all. But it's also, in some countries, they shake. Treva didn't want me to share this either. They shake with their left hand. And that's because they don't import toilet paper. You don't want to give them the right hand of fellowship, believe you me. So things are different in different countries, and you can be offensive without meaning to. Why am I talking about this? Because Jesus come preaching a new kingdom. It's a total different world that we are living in inside his kingdom than this kingdom out here, right? And Abraham found it before the New Testament, before Jesus came, even before the law. Abraham found that passageway into this new kingdom, and he did some things so correctly. He believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, is what Scripture said. He found the communication tool of the new kingdom. It says he spoke things that were not as though they were. See, that's the language of the kingdom. We are trained to go by our five senses. So we say things like this: I don't feel very good. I don't feel like you love me, Pastor, because you didn't do that. I don't feel. And Jesus is saying, get over yourself. This is not the kingdom of feeling. This is the kingdom of faith. So therefore, a lot of us deal with this. Well, I can't say I'm healed when I'm still coughing. Oh yeah, you can. Or you can stay that way. I say we need to learn the new language. We need to pick up the language of the new kingdom, and that language is a language of faith, right? It calls things into existence. You realize things, they exist spiritually before they exist physically. So you may be suffering in your body right now, but your healing is out there in the spirit. It's been paid for. Right? Right there. Everything's been done. When he said it is finished, it means it's been purchased. Now you can leave it on the table, or you can pick up a new language in the Spirit of God that begins to call things that God says are yours as yours. That's why when we pray for Dylan, we say he's healed in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we know that God wants to heal that young man. Do you guys remember C.S. Lewis? Now, y'all know we didn't know him personally, but he was I think he was a teacher in Oxford. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And he wrote, he was an atheist who Jesus called him into the kingdom and changed his life. And he wrote this series of books called The Chronicles of Narnia. You remember that? Has anybody read The Chronicles of Narnia? You need to buy that for your grandchildren. Really, seriously, it's a great, I think you call it an allegory. But these kids would go through this new kingdom, go into the new kingdom by the way of a wardrobe. Do you remember that? Maybe you've even seen the movie, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And so they were British kids, little kids with an accent. And they would be hiding and playing hide and go seek or something. And they, you remember, you know what, for those of you that's under about 50, do you know what a wardrobe is? In the 1900s, we didn't put closets in house. They built wardrobes. It was literally like a closet, a box. And the rod was that big. And probably you and your wife shared all your clothes on that one rod, right? I looked at my closet the other day and I said, this is a sin. It's a sin to have this many clothes. That's just when there's other people that don't have. But they would go through this wardrobe and they would come into a new kingdom where there was the lion there. Something that we would normally be afraid of, but that lion was Aslan. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Their eyes were being opened, in other words. Animals talked. I mean, it was a weird kingdom. But it really wasn't much more weird than the kingdom of God. Can I say that? Is that permissible to say in church? The kingdom of God is weird. It's strange. Right? It's nothing like this world. It's totally different. And I have found that we try to operate in God's kingdom the way we've been operating for 50 or 60 years in this kingdom. And it doesn't work. Just doesn't work. We need to learn the culture. You know, the culture of this world is to protect numero uno. The culture of that world is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. Totally different, right? The currency, I talk about my feelings here. The currency, or the communication, talk about my feelings here. But the communication in the kingdom of God is a communication of faith. I don't talk about how I feel. I talk about what God has told me in my heart that I can have, that I declare, right? And I want you to know, he's already done it for you. You see, we think about, well, he's wanting us to do all this stuff, but he demonstrates it first. See, the scripture that I just read said this, you have been declared righteous. Do you know what that means? It means you were made right. See, God has a strict moral code. It's called perfection. Nothing else can stand in his presence. And God speaks something into your life. He says, be made right. Be righteous. Well, I don't feel righteous. Do you feel righteous? No. Why? Because this flesh has a hard time with this concept of righteousness. But God spoke it into my life before it was. Are you getting this? Before I was righteous, God says, you're righteous. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. He took my sin so that I could take His righteousness. What a trade. A glorious trade. So guys, we're talking about the new kingdom today. We're talking about how Abraham showed it to us, even by the life he lived. Scripture says that we're righteous. That's the state of moral perfection. Justification, that we've been justified. My New King James said justified. I like the NLT. It said that we have been made right. But justification is the process. Listen to this. It's the process of declaring one righteous in God's sight. Declaring. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about God speaking that over your life? That He declared you righteous. It came sort of like this. You humbled yourself. You cried out to Jesus, God, I need something. I'm falling apart. I'm a mess. And I need a Savior. And we never get the rest of the picture, I feel like. And I believe the rest of the picture is God looking down to you and saying, I declare you righteous. Your sin is forgiven to be remembered no more. Woo, I'm telling you, that's worth shouting about. He says, we've been justified by faith, and now we have something that chances are we never had before. Peace. You have peace. We don't even really understand the concept of peace. To us, peace is just not having troubles. But it's more than that. It's more than the absence of civil disturbance or hostilities. The Greek word is irene or something like that, irene. The Hebrew word is shalom. And it means wholeness, completeness, and tranquility in your soul. Do you realize God wants you to walk in peace every day of your life, in every area of your life, not hit and miss? See, a lot of us, we have this hit and miss thing with God. Some days we're hitting on the peace level, you know. Other days we've lost it and we're just nothing but a bunch of nerves. We're just walking in anxiety and depression. My brother has been a pastor for over 40 years. And he told his church last week, he said, I've been going through a really difficult time in my life. And he said, just really watching the news too much probably. And just that darkness of the news is getting into his soul. And he said, I found myself praying this, God, would you just take me home? Take me home right now. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, you're praying wrong, son. See, this is not the time for Christians to pray, get me out of here. This is the time for Christians to be praying, let my little light shine. Amen. It's a dark world. They need the hope of Jesus. They're going to find that hope of Jesus in you. Most of these kids testified that it was a person. Did you get it? I wasn't looking for Jesus, but I saw Susie, right? Or I saw this one, I met this one. Kimberly said, I met somebody and I thought, doggone it, I like them. I thought that was really funny. I know Kimber just a little bit. She is a really good friend of Sarah Witt. And her dad is a pastor in Tennessee and one of my favorite people in this state. He's just a super guy. But talking about peace, A.W. Tozer said, grace is the good and pleasure of God that inclines Him to bestow benefits of the undeserving. Grace is also an empowerment. And then John Bevere said, grace is God's presence or God's power. Isaiah 26:3 says that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We need to harness our thoughts. Harness the way we think. John 14:27 says, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and to be thankful." We talked about in Sunday school that word rule means to umpire. Peace, the peace of God, will literally lead and guide you through life. When you feel the peace of God lift, stop. Stop. Pause. Put it in reverse for just a second. Let's figure out, where is the peace of God? So we've been made right, and this is where I wanted to go to the Hebrews scripture in chapter 10. He says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." There was a time in the Old Testament where one person, one time a year, got to go into the presence of God. One person, one time a year. They literally had a garment on him, and they would keep him awake all night long so that he wouldn't even have a dirty dream or a dream that might defile him. Around the hem of the garment was a bell and a pomegranate, a little symbols. The bells and the pomegranates, they represent the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And they tied a rope around him so that when he went into the presence of God, if the quaking would stop, they would begin to pull him out because he was probably a dead man. I'm just going to go down a side road here. Sometimes we're just a little too casual in the presence of God. Now, I believe that we can be casual. We can be a casual church. I don't think God cares about what you wear. I don't think God cares if your hair is long or short, if you have a tattoo. I think God is concerned about your heart. But you can get casual about his presence. See, it's a holy thing. When we begin to worship today, you felt the Spirit of God. That's good, but to me, just a hint of scary. You know why? Because I don't want to violate that. I don't want to do anything in his presence that would hinder that move. So I take it very seriously. And I even said, sometimes you just don't know what to do. When I don't know what to do, I usually pray. So that's why I pray a lot in church, right? Oh, Jesus. Help me, help me, help me. Let's always remember, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We should fear in awe. Oh, I respect you so much. I don't want to do anything to disappoint you. I want to honor you with everything that's within me. One time, this guy got to go into the presence of God. The same presence that you were in and are in right now. The same presence that you can go in again tomorrow. Tonight. Maybe in the middle of the night. When maybe he wakes you up and you feel his presence in your bedroom. Ever been there? I tell you, I've been driving down the road before and literally felt like the presence of God, like the Spirit of God slipped into my truck and just began to talk to me. I am so thankful. Most of us know that we should be thankful about our salvation. But how much greater to me is the fact that I have access to the King of Kings. Do you know there's not one problem that you'll ever face that you have to face alone? God wants you to share it with him. God wants to help you overcome every problem, every obstacle that you'll ever have. So this great thing that we have, this access. C.S. Lewis had those kids entering into a wardrobe, but we enter a new way. The veil was torn in twain. Now we enter through the blood of Jesus. Nothing replaced. We don't pray to Mary, folks. We don't pray to Mary. Don't have to. I can call upon the name of Jesus. Do you understand what a privilege that is? You know, sometimes we treat prayer like it's a burden. Prayer is the greatest privilege that a Christian has. The fact that the Word of God says that His eye is turned towards the righteous and His ear hears our prayer. I have an assurance that God is looking after me. And when I pray, God hears my voice. Now see, you still may be dealing with this thing, well, I don't feel it. I dealt with that probably for the first 20 years of my Christian life. I'm Pentecostal through and through. And Pentecostals are trained. If you don't get a goosebump, you're not in the presence of God. You ain't got nothing. You didn't get the goosebump. Well, you need to get over that nonsense. Because it is nonsense. It's false teaching. It's just, I don't like it. See, we need to go by the Word of God. Not what our experience tells us. Not what I feel. But what does the Word of God says? The Word of God says, when I lift up my voice in the sanctuary, He hears me. He came to deliver me from all of my troubles. Are you got troubles today? Are you praying about it? You know, I find that sometimes when we have trouble, we don't pray. We just worry. How stupid is that? You've got this great source called your Father that says, if you'll ask, I will deliver. You have not because you ask not. I can do this by myself. I know I can figure this out. Who am I going to marry? I'll just do this myself. Oh, are you a fool or what? You're going to make the biggest decisions in your life on your own? Are you kidding me? You need to pray. If you're looking for a wife or you're looking for a husband, you better hit your knees in prayer. I maybe should have walked this way and this way. I'm so thankful that we can go into His presence. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Isn't it interesting that God calls His throne the throne of grace, the throne of favor? You know, we're not beggars. God didn't say, come begging. He says, your sons, your daughters, come and ask me what you need. You know, He says in one place, it delights the Father to give you what you're asking for. He delights in that. This is one that, again, I had some confusion over it in my life. We are invited to go into the secret place. Kids went into the wardrobe and into the land of Narnia. You're invited to go into the secret place. All my life, I thought that the secret place was my prayer closet, because that's what I was told as a kid. You need to have a prayer closet. That's your secret place. No, that's not. Your prayer closet is your prayer closet. But the secret place is where God is at. And God says that you can come into His secret place. Folks, this is powerful. If you get this. Matthew 6:6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. We've heard this a lot in the last year and a half. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I like that, because when you've been in the secret place, it's going to change the way you talk, I promise you. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. You know the problem with the church? We read Psalms 91 starting with verse 3. We like to read the promises. We like to read that He will protect us. He'll keep us from the pestilence. The arrows that fly by the day won't hurt you. Nothing, you know, 1,000 will fall at this hand and 10,000 will fall at this side, but nothing will come to you. COVID will not hit you. Oh, we added that. It's not really there. It's Kelleher rendition. But we skip verse 1. He who dwells. Dwelling is not a hit and miss. You see, Treva and I dwell together. So if she doesn't come home at night, I'm going to figure out where she at. Where you be, sister? Sister girl. She can't be running around. She can't be staying at this house or that house because we dwell together. It's not a hit and miss. It's not as I want to. It's dwelling. We're in fellowship. What's the word? Tabernacle. We're tabernacling together. We dwell together. Do you dwell with God? Are you in a dwelling place with Him? Are you just a Sunday morning, see you, Jesus? Talk to you next Sunday. Let me tell you, I just don't have much faith that you're going to walk in the promises when you're only hitting and missing in His presence. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. Man, joy is something great, right? Joy is something we all need and want. We want joy. You can try to find it. These young kids, some of them said, I was looking for joy. I was looking for fun. And they went their way and tried to find it, and they only found destruction until they turned their life to Jesus. Jesus is true joy. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, in the secret place, we commune with the Holy Spirit. You may just read your word. You may just get in the secret place and read the word of God. That's wonderful. You may be listening to the Spirit of God. You may be interceding for others. I think we need to practice meditation. Meditation means chewing the cud. I'm just thinking about Him a lot. I would also encourage you, when you get into the secret place, go with a pen and paper, because it's not just one-way communication. It's not just about you telling God what you need. It's about God telling you what He wants to do in your life, the instruction for you to get what you need. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You realize that's a promise. You know you're as close to God as you want to be at this moment in time. Okay, I want to keep going and then we'll finish. He says, through Him we have access by faith into this grace. Isn't that neat? Have you ever thought that grace is a destination? You have access into this grace. I have access into His favor. I can walk into God's favor. I think that's an interesting way of saying it. And then He says this, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In which we stand. That means you need to stake a claim. It's like, what did they call those people that went out into the West and they could homesteaders, right? We're sort of homesteaders. And sometimes you need to get your banner out that says Kelleher family or whatever family it is. And you need to drive it down into the ground and say, I'm taking a stand on this promise. Does that make sense to you? We need to take a stand into this thing. So it's an establishment of something permanent in our life. I believe there's lots of things that God wants to do for you, but you haven't staked a claim. Okay, I got to come back down there because I'm losing you. It's getting close to 11:30. I can always tell. I'm thinking about the dinner bell. I'm thinking. You're not necessarily going to walk in the promises of God just because you know them. You know you have an enemy of your soul. As much as God loves you, Satan hates you. And he's going to try with everything that he has. And believe you me, he's not all powerful, but he's pretty sharp. And he's not a pushover. And if you think he's going to say, hey, here's the promises of God, just come along and get them. I'm not going to stop you. You're crazy. It's like the best defense team you've ever seen. Those 350-pound boys up there. And he's guarding the blessing of God so you can't get it. Until you stake a claim. Until you say, I'm not giving up on the promises of God. They're too good. I refuse to be defeated. And I won't think it in my mind, and I won't say it about myself anymore. Amen. I'll not say that I'm a nincompoop, that I'm stupid, that I don't deserve anything. Let's get over the false humility. You know what? You don't deserve anything, but he gave it to you anyway. It's called grace, guys. By grace we're saved. By grace we're healed. By grace we prosper. By grace we have everything that we have in God. But you're going to have to get militant. Is that a word? Something like that. I think it's militant and vigilant at the same time. Sometimes you can just combine two words and come up. Save some time just to create your own word. I don't know how to say this nicely, so I'll just say it. Christians are often panty waist. We're just sissies. And it's time we get a backbone. It's time you decide you're going to stake a claim for the promises of God. See, if you're that person of worry, you just keep calling yourself that. Well, that's just the way God created me. I just fall apart. You'll probably die that way until you change your words. Do you remember Psalms 91? He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow. Do you remember the next line? He will say. He'll say. He'll say. It changes. When I am with God, I get a fighting spirit. I get mad at the devil. I get mad at him for Dylan Smith. I think, God, this makes me mad. Let me just tell you, first and foremost, I don't believe that God gave it to him. God is the healer. God comes to give you life. Satan is the killer. Satan steals. Satan destroys. There was no sickness in the garden. There's no sickness in heaven. Didn't come from God. Only good comes from God. So once you get your theology right, then you can get your anger right. Too many people that I know are mad at God. You're directing your anger in the wrong spot. Come on, get over it. God's always good. The devil's always bad. We ought to learn that in kindergarten. Now stake a claim for the promises of God. His promises say yea and amen. His promises says you're saved, and every one of you. I could argue till the cows come home about you losing your salvation. You say, I'm not losing my salvation. I know I'm healed. I know I'm saved. I prayed a prayer. I'm walking with Jesus. I know I'm saved. Are you that convinced about the other promises? I tell you what, I bet I could talk you out of your healing. Oh, I'm just believing God for my healing. Don't you think maybe Jesus gave that to you to teach you a lesson? Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't have to dip into Satan's tool bag to teach you something. Jesus will teach you, but he'll do it with his word. Whew, that's a good teaching right there. So we stake a claim for what we believe, what God tells us he wants to do. And the last thing is, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you know when the rejoicing starts? Yeah, Pastor, I know. As soon as I get my healing, I'm going to rejoice. Wrong. You rejoice before you receive. It's a measure of faith. Do you know rejoice and joy is the same Greek word? It's actually the same word. Rejoice is joy. It's just an action part of it. Joy is like a noun. You notice my English is not real good, so I say somewhere along like a noun. Or rejoicing is a verb. It's action. It actually means to twirl about. Got anybody want to rejoice today? If I'm staking a claim in the promises of God, I need to rejoice that I've got it before it shows up. Heard a story yesterday about this man who had a little girl and she had warts, big warts, all over her hands. He said 24 of them. And the father got this revelation from God that he needs to pray against it. And so he began to ask the Lord to heal his daughter. And then he began to command them to leave. I just went overboard with you, didn't I? Yeah, you can command things in the Spirit of God. It went on for months, maybe years. These warts just kept there. And that father began to laugh. Who are you fooling, devil? I know she's healed. I know she's healed. I may be able to see those warts, but I know they're gone. Amen. One day, little girl came into the room, and the father laughed. He said, ha ha, devil, you're not winning this. The warts are gone. Just like that, every wart on her body disappeared at one time. Why? Because he persisted. He staked a claim in the promises of God. You got a problem in your life that seems like it won't leave you alone? It's time to stake a claim. First of all, you need to know the promise. Do you know the Word of God enough to know what His will for you is? His will for you is prosperity. 1 Corinthians, I believe, says this: He causes me to triumph. He doesn't cause me to fail. I'm pretty good at that myself. But He causes me to triumph. I think I'm going to stake a claim in that one. I think I'll say, that one's mine. He says that I'm healed. Peter says that you're not going to be healed. He said you were healed. That work's been done. I say, but Pastor, you don't understand how bad I feel. I'm 60 years old. Believe you me, I have days when I just want to stay in the bed. But I ain't doing it because I'm staking a claim. I'm saying that healing is mine in Jesus' name. You see, I have access. I have found the wardrobe. I know the path that takes me from this world into a new kingdom. And I'm telling you what, the new kingdom is so good. It's better than just salvation. I know you got your ticket punched. I know you're going to heaven. I'm trying to tell you today, there's so much more. Don't stop with salvation. Let's continue to dwell with Him. Let's just see what He'll do with an ordinary life. Trevor read this morning in the book of Acts, right after Pentecost, the word says this, that the world recognized that they were ordinary men that had been with Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Do you realize that could be you? Just an ordinary guy, but I've been with my Savior. It's changed the way I think. It's changed the way I talk. It changes everything about my life. I will say, I will declare. Would you stand with me? Folks, as I was praying over this, how to end it, I thought, we could just end this with a prayer, but I think we would be remiss. See, I believe in my heart that you need to stake a claim. You need to show the Lord that you are believing Him for something. So if the Spirit of God has been speaking to you, if there's something in your life that you need to overcome, that you are petitioning God about, that you want to see Him move, today is the day to stake the claim. Here's how it's going to go. It may be salvation for you, and if it is, I want you to wave at me when you get down here where I can pray with you. But chances are it's something different than salvation. It may be healing. It may be some kind of prosperity that you just need. You know, we serve a God of more than enough, not just enough. Right? He's more than enough. If you're barely getting by, can I just speak a word into your life? That's not God's will. You ever been in a church service where they take an offering and you're dead broke? Just don't have anything to give? I was like that one time. 24, 25 years old. Man, I didn't have two pennies to rub together, and the missionary was there. I've always loved missionaries. I've always wanted to sow. And I repented right there at my seat. I said, God, I've got myself into a mess financially. But if you'll get me out of this mess, I promise you I'll never get in a mess again. And I will give. I'll be a free, generous giver. Buddy, God turned my finances around just like that. I couldn't sell a house. I was trying to sell this house, and I couldn't sell it, but I was trying to sell it and I was going to lose money. Taking a walk one day, and the Lord said, I can't let you sell that house. I said, why? Well, I'm talking to Him just like I'm talking to you. He said, because you're trying to lose money, and you've been faithful in your tithes, and I can't let you lose money on this. I said, well, Lord, I'll just raise the price. He said, okay, raise it $10,000. And I thought, okay. 3 days later, I've been trying to sell this house for a couple of years. 3 days later, I sold that house for $10,000 more than I was asking for it the week before. God got me out of debt. Never went back into debt again. See, I don't know what you're believing God for. I just know that He wants to bless you. But I also know you need to stake a claim in it. And this church doesn't like to respond to altar calls. I don't know why. But we just don't like to do this. But I'm telling you, you need to step out of your pew, out of your seat, out of your aisle. And you just need to come and stand up here. And you need to tell yourself and tell God, I'm staking a claim today in the promises of God. Treva, go ahead and sing this song. Would you step out and come on up if that's you?
Your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ
my King. Your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ my King.
Your name
my King.
By your Spirit
I will rise from the ashes of defeat.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive
to declare
your victory.
Hallelujah, come on. It's time we start declaring the victory in this house.
Resurrecting me. By your Spirit
I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Resurrected King is resurrecting me.
In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Do you believe God can do it? Amen. Father God, we just come before you right now. We enter the secret place that you have made available to us. as we come before the throne of grace, God, you said that we can make our petitions known to you. You said that you will meet us in our time of need. With mercy and grace, you'll meet us. God, you're not there to discipline us. You're there to invite us in so that you can change our life. God, we know your promises. We know what you have declared over us. You've declared us victors, winners, more than enough. God, I stake a claim in the promises of God today. And I said, I will not be defeated and I will not give up. I trust in you, Almighty God. Father, I pray today for each and every person that's standing here. Lord, it took a little bit of guts to get out of that pew. It took some guts to walk up that aisle and say, I'm the one. I'm the one that needs his help. God, we trust you. I trust, Lord, that Dylan is already healed. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing power of God. Peter said, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed. But he also said this, that everything I need, I find in you. Lord, I don't have to look to money. I don't have to look to things. I don't have to look to personalities. My eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. I pray, Jesus, right now, show yourself strong in these people's lives. May the peace of God fill their hearts as they have staked a claim. God, I come against anxiety. I come against worry. I come against fear. I bind those evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Depression, you must leave. I will be full of the Spirit of God. I will have joy. It's a commodity of God that I will not give up. I thank you, Lord, that you love me so much. You have given these promises, and I want every one of them. Father, make yourself clear to these folks that you are with them, that you love them, and that you'll help them with every problem they ever have. In the name of Jesus, the Almighty King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, Jesus, I feel like I can hear your roar today. Roar from your throne and let it rattle this world. Father, I thank you for the blessings of God. Thank you, Lord, for the secret place. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to access it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We have a custom here. If you'll just stand there. Somebody has spit all over this pulpit. I don't know who did that. Treva. Can't take her anywhere. Denny, would you come? Denny will end with a blessing for us.
Weave my way through, everybody. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken, go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.